Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
The title of my message this morning is A Glorious Church. Somebody say, A Glorious Church. Come on, you can do better than that. A Glorious Church. Please turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse number 26. We are going to read 26 and 27. Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse number 26 and verse number 27. The Bible says, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Bless us this morning. Anoint us, O God, in the name of Jesus, both to speak and to hear your word. Change our lives, O God, in the name of Jesus. We honor you and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, the church is universal and the church is local. When we talk about the universal church, we are talking about the corporate body of Christ, the whole body of Christ. When Jesus came to die, he died for all of us. And when we are saved and we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we then become a church that is universal, a corporate body of Christ, him being the head of the church and us being the body. Him being the head and us being the body. So the church is first universal, and then also the church is local. So when we are talking about the church being local, you will remember that whenever Paul, who wrote most of the books in the New Testament, you will remember that he will, from time to time, write letters to certain churches. He will say to the church in Corinth, he will say to the church in Ephesus, he will say to the church in Macedonia, you know, and that's how we then realize that the church is also not just universal, but the church is also local. So that is the reason why we have Builders Church. That is why the apostle, who is not Paul anymore, but our apostle, will every Sunday send us letters to say, this Sunday, this is what we are talking about, to divide the word of truth. The Bible says here a little and there a little, right? So that, because the church is also local, because then God calls a man. After he has called a man, and then he calls us to follow that man, so that then we can be able to hear the part that God would want us to hear, so that we can then experience the part that God would want us to experience. How many know that God is not surprised that you are here at Builders Church, as a member of Builders Church, or as a visitor this morning at Builders Church? He is not surprised. So when he was giving me a message this morning, he had you in mind. Why? Because the church, as much as it is universal, but it is also very much local. And God does not make any mistake to give us a message for the church next door, the people who are local next door, and leave those who are local in this particular local church. Somebody say amen. Amen. So that is something that we always need to understand, that as much as the church is very much universal, that is why you will find people who are in error. And I'm going to say it with boldness, to say that they are in error. I don't know here, but in Delmas, people had a tendency of saying, I don't fellowship in any church because I'm in the board. I'm in the board. There is no need for me to have a local church because I'm in the board. But they don't know that the body as well has been designed to be local. Because God wants to speak to specific people in a specific way about specific things. Somebody say amen. So you are in error if you say, I don't want to belong to any local church because I'm in the body. It is the church that is in the body that you belong to. It is in the body. So the church is universal and the church is local. So Jesus died for the church, but he also died for us as individuals. And what I like about him and the church, he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in other words, he is saying no matter what may try to divide the church, it will not prevail against it, including you and I. So even if maybe we were hurt in the church, or even if maybe there are certain reservations that we have about the church, what I know is that Jesus says, this is the church that I died for, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in other words, he went for the highest rank that can try to be against the church, which is the enemy himself, which is the gates of hell itself. But then he says, that will not prevail against it. How much more about you and I? So in other words, no matter how much I feel, no matter what I feel about the church, I am never going to be able to destroy the church. I am never going to be able to hate the church to a point that God also hates the church. Because if God is talking about the church and he says he is the head of the church and we are the body of Christ, then it means that he loves himself. When he loves himself, it means that he loves his body. If you don't believe me, just try not to bathe your body like for 7 days. Just for 7 days. And just you as a human being, you love your body. Why? You take care of it. You go and buy cosmetics and you decorate your body. Some of us go for new hairstyles and you decorate your body. You know, that is the same thing that Jesus is in a mission of, because he loves his body. So there is no way that he is not going to wash us as his body so that he can present us to himself. That's what the Bible says. The scripture that we read, it says he washes us with the waters of the word. So each time the word comes, it does not come so that the church can be nice. Have you ever heard someone say, it was very nice at church? And when they ask you, what happened at church? You don't know. What did they say at church? You don't know. Was there something that you learned at church? There was nothing that you learned at church. Is there something that you have to go back home and work on? No, you don't have. Why? Because begumnande sontweni. Now, begumnande sontweni bazalwane, up to a certain extent that we end up not understanding the fact that the reason why church is nice, it is so that Jesus can be able to take care of his body. The reason why we come to church and hear the word every Sunday, it is so that Jesus can take care of his body. So he is decorating his body. He is putting on certain things in his body. So that when we go and we become this universal church, as I said, when we go back to our respective homes, when we go back to our careers, to our businesses, there is something that has rubbed off on us that nobody else has. And then we can tell that this one belongs to a certain group of people that has been washed by the word of God. There's a difference between someone who washed and someone who did not wash. Amen. You can easily tell, even with yourself. Just you can even try it tomorrow, before and after. Take a picture when you wake up. When you haven't taken a shower, and then after, and then you will understand my analogy. You will understand it better, because then you will see that Jesus, when he brings about the word, locally and universally, he brings it to wash his body.
Amen.
So that he can present itself, so that he can present it to himself without wrinkle, without spot, and without blemish. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So now it is clear that Jesus wants his church glorious. Jesus wants his church glorious. And the highest level of the manifestation of God is his glory. When God wants to manifest himself, he manifests himself through his glory. That is the highest level of him manifesting himself. God manifests himself in many different ways, but the highest level of him manifesting himself, it is in his glory. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
So if you want God in his element, you must go for his glory. If you want him at his best, you must go for his glory. That's where God shows off. That's where God is unmatched. And even if they tried to match him, when he is in his element, which is the glory, no one can be able to match him. When he is in his element, he cannot be matched by any sangoma. When he is in his element, he cannot be matched by any witchcraft. Anyone who think maybe they have some form of power here on earth, some form of powers here on earth, when God takes off his weapon, which is called his glory, there is no one who can be able to match him. So in other words, everyone who has a weapon, when God draws the weapon, which is his glory, every other one who has a weapon, that weapon diminishes because God has now come in his glory. If you don't believe me, you can ask Pharaoh and his people in Egypt, because that's when God showed up in his glory. He said, it's okay, you also have your own powers. However, let us see who's going to be able to do the things that makes the pot to be done. Hallelujah. And God became the one who rides in his glory. And they saw him as a God who is unmatched, as a God who cannot be withstood before by anyone who tries to also show his power. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So when we talk about the glory of God, we are talking about a dimension where the impossible becomes easily and cheaply possible. You must hear me well. I did not say the impossible becomes possible in the dimension of the glory, because the impossible becomes possible in the dimension of faith and in the dimension of the anointing. There is always, we always say, because the God is able to do the impossible. But when God begins to operate in the dimension of his glory, he is unmatched, as I said, and also the impossible becomes cheaply and easily possible. So in other words, everything that you have been seeing before you as though it is impossible, and maybe before you have been confronted by certain things that were impossible, and there are certain things that you had to do, you had to maneuver and make sure that you experience the impossible becoming possible. But in the dimension of the glory, let me tell you something, it becomes so cheap in such a way that when you realize you are outside of that situation, by the time you wake up, you are out of that corner that you have found yourself in. When God begins to operate in the dimension of the glory, it is so cheap and it is so easy. It is something that no one can dispute, that it is only God who can be able to take you out of this situation. No one can dispute the fact that it can only be God who can turn this morning into dancing, who can turn turn this sorrow into joy, and in such a short space of time, and also without using too much force and resources. That's why I say it is cheaply and it is easy when you operate in the dimension of the glory. I don't know about you, but as we have declared that this is the year to experience the glory of God, I don't want anything that is going to cause me to sweat. For me, just like anyone else who does not operate in the dimension of the glory. And this morning I'm here to prophesy upon everyone who will care to believe that it is time for the dimension of the glory of God, and things are going to come easily and cheaply. The impossible will be made possible easily and cheaply. So in other words, what you are going to experience based on what resources that you have given towards that particular thing, you are no longer going to use those resources.
Amen.
Because God wants it to be cheap.
Amen.
Because then if it costs you, then it's no longer Him. In the dimension of the glory,
Amen.
In the dimension of the glory, that's where God begins to show off. That's where God begins. In the dimension of the glory, I heard another pastor making an illustration that I love. I want to share with you. He says, in the dimension of the glory, it's no longer stairs. You will get to the top level, whether by the lift or by the stairs. But with the dimension of the glory, it's a lift. So in other words, you appear here, you disappear here, and you appear there. Ah, I see someone disappearing from unemployment right into employment. I see someone from one level of where they are at work, of where they are in their business, of where they are in their career. They are here today, but tomorrow they wake up in another level, in another dimension. Why? Because it is no longer by might, nor by power, but it is by the glory of God. So in other words, all that you need to do when you enter the lift is just to press whatever number that you need to go to, and you don't have to climb and use your own force and use your own might and use your own power. But then the lift, you are just going to stand and look at those who thought you were not going to win, and look at those who thought you were never going to make it, and look at those who thought you were not going to make it out of this situation. But I'm here to announce to you this morning that there is a dimension of the glory, and that dimension of the glory is the dimension that God wants to usher us into this morning. Shh. Ah, it's a prophetic act. Come on. Shh. Ah, it's a prophetic act. Come on. Shh. Ah. Shut up, Asaya. Come on, somebody. Shh. That's the dimension of the glory. That's the dimension of the glory. No more efforts. No more efforts. All you need to do is just to be a child of God who believes the word that has been proclaimed in the local church. In the local church. Aye, one more time. Shh. Come on, see that place. See that place. I see you living that dimension. I see you living that level. I see you living that corner that everyone thought you were not going to make it. Come on. The dimension of the glory of God. The dimension of the glory of God. Where you don't have to pronounce yourself or announce yourself, but the glory announces you. Ah, you don't have to say, Pelamina. This is what I can do. Pelamin, this is who I am. Pelamin, this is what I have done before. Pelamin, give me space because of 1, 2, 3, and 4. But when you appear, everyone has got to make way. When you are in the dimension of the glory, in other words, even if the enemy was trying to block you, maybe in the dimension of faith, he blocked you. Maybe in the dimension of the anointing, he blocked you. But I'm here to announce to you that Builders Church, there's another dimension. There's another level called the glory. And in that level, there's no one who can stand before you. Hallelujah! When you are in the lift, as I said, we must go up. When you are in the lift, there is no traffic up and down. No, Bazalon. In fact, if you go to Gateway, you enter the lift, you press the level you want to go to, and somebody comes in and presses something else, and it starts going down instead of going up. You are agitated somehow. Isn't it, Bazalon? Why? Because it is meant to be. It is not meant to be so. Kufanele mangabe ungenile ku first level wa press 10. It must go shh. And whoever comes in must be somebody who is also going up. Ah, come on, somebody say shh. Bangakulibazisi this time around, it's time for the glory. Bangakulibazisi this time around, it's time for the dimension of the glory. You have got to get to the 10th floor where you are going. Noma kanjani, it doesn't matter what is coming your way. It doesn't matter who said what to who about you. But I'm here to announce to you, the lift is coming for you. That's the glory. Shh.
Let's go.
That's the glory. That's the glory. One day, if God allows, we will touch on the dimension of faith and the dimension of the anointing. But for now, for some of us, it's even we see sekama steps, because some of us have not even mastered faith. Some of us have not even mastered the anointing, how to work the thing. But when God comes in His glory, He suspends everything else. He suspends what you know, what you can do, and how you can do it. And He says, I'm God, I'm here, and there is no one. Let me see anyone who's going to come before me. Please sit down. I'm not done, Bazalan. Yeah, the dimension of the glory. The dimension of the glory. Things come easily and cheaply. The impossible becomes easily and cheaply possible. When God ushers us into the dimension of the glory, He gives us Himself. He does not give us things, because we will have to go back and look for more. But when He gives us Himself in the dimension of the glory, He comes and He gives us Himself. Listen to what Himself is. So He gives us Himself, and Himself is His fullness. Somebody say His fullness. Somebody say His fullness. He gives us His fullness. So He gives us His fullness of who He is. He gives us His fullness of what He has. If somebody knows what God has, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, for He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. It says, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord?
Amen.
The earth is the Lord's. You know, when we were believing for the Benoni campus, that was my prayer. If you are believing for a house, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I said in my prayer, I was even sharing with about Pastor Hope, I can't remember with who. I said, you know what, let me tell you something. If they don't want us to occupy that building, even though God has agreed for us to occupy that place, then they must take their brick and mortar.
Yeah.
Because the earth is the Lord's.
Yeah.
So if they don't want us to be there, if God has given us the land, whatever is on it comes with it. Because it is His. In fact, it says, and the fullness thereof, including what is on the earth. Ah, do I have people of faith in the house? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's a prayer point that you can make. Anything that has not been made by men that you need, like land, I encourage you for land. 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 Me, I'm gunning for land. Nothing else. If I buy the house, it's not really for the house, it's for the land.
Yeah.
I must have space. I must have space and place. I must be established. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. The fullness thereof is the house. The fullness thereof is the building. That was my prayer. So when God operates in the dimension of the glory, He gives us Himself in His fullness. Who He is, what He has, and what He can do. I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, I see quite a number of things that God can do.
Yeah.
In fact, there is even a verse that says He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ever ask or think. Because God is able to do quite a number of things. And I have taught us in this house, I'm sure more than once, that the nice thing about leaning and trusting and depending on God is that He's not just able, He's also willing. There are people sometimes who are willing, but they are unable. Konitli Zio is in the right place. They want to help, but they can't because they are unable. In fact, umuntu azakhale nawe athi, all I can do is just to cry with you because there is nothing I can do. But how many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ever ask or think? God is able. And He's not just able. He's also willing. He's willing to help you out. He's willing to elevate you. He's willing to take you from one dimension to the next. He's willing to take you from one level to the next. He's willing to deliver you from whatever it is that has been torturing you. He is able and willing. Sometimes even our parents are willing with all of their hearts to do certain things for us. Sometimes those who love us are willing with all of their hearts. In fact, they would even sometimes say, if I could wear my heart on my sleeve, so that you can see how much I am willing. However, they are not able. The beauty with our God, He's willing and He is able. So when God ushers us into the dimension of His glory, He gives us Himself, because there is nothing beyond. Himself is better than a car. Himself is better than a house. Himself is better than just the goosebumps that you experience on Sunday morning. Himself is just more than the nice clothes. Himself is more than anything that you can ever think of. When God gives you Himself, He gives you what He is capable of doing, who He is, and what He has. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And it doesn't get any better than the glory. There is no way, there is no any other level, there is no any other dimension that can be maybe above the glory. That is the highest level. That's why I said it's when God gives you Himself. Somebody say amen. But maybe someone may be wondering, what is this glory? Glory defined, let me define it for you. Glory defined is, you can please just write it down. I don't want you to ever miss this. If you have something that you are writing on, write this down. The glory defined is the manifestation of his presence, power, and prosperity. It's quite easy. It is the manifestation of his presence, power, and prosperity. Somebody say presence.
Presence.
Come on, come on. Somebody say presence.
Presence.
Say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Say prosperity.
Prosperity.
If you don't like saying prosperity, it will run from you. Say presence.
Presence.
Say power.
Power.
Say prosperity.
Prosperity.
Come on, somebody say presence.
Presence.
Power.
Power.
Prosperity. Let the devil hear you. Presence,
presence.
Power,
power,
prosperity.
Prosperity.
Let those who say you will never prosper say presence,
presence.
Power,
power,
prosperity.
Prosperity.
They can hear you in the spirit. Say it again. Presence,
presence.
Power,
power,
prosperity.
Prosperity.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is glory defined. The manifestation of his presence, his power, and prosperity. So when we are talking about the presence of God, we are talking about what causes us to always be hopeful. We are talking about what causes us to be courageous. We are talking about what gives us strength. Whenever we talk about the presence of God, the Bible even says that in his presence, there is the fullness of joy. So in other words, if you are a person who lacks joy this morning, or maybe from time to time, there are things that come and you find yourself sad, just put yourself in the presence. Allow yourself to be in the presence of the Lord. For some of us, it has worked for so many years that even if I can't break through for the presence of God all by myself, just put me in the presence. Whether there is just a small gathering, as long as when two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in their midst. So in other words, he's promising us his presence. And whenever you feel like you are down, and whenever you feel like you are sad, just look for where the presence of the Lord can be felt. Even when sometimes I feel lonely and I feel sad maybe, and I lack joy, maybe because of a circumstance or a situation that I find myself in, I have learned that if I can just unlock the presence around me, then then that sadness will lift from me. Then that discontentment will leave me. Why? Because of the presence of the Lord. Maybe someone is asking, how do I activate the presence if maybe there is nothing going on at church and it's not a Sunday? Worship is another tool to bring about the presence of God. In other words, Shugana no Metro FM, it's not going to attract the presence of God. Ushugane no cause, it's not going to attract the presence of God. There is nothing that is going to bring about the presence of God in Ask a Man or Anele with the crew. Nothing will bring about the presence of God. In fact, they might just be tackling the issue that has made you sad. And you are even... So you invoke the presence of God through worship. There are many other ways, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you worship. You invoke the presence of God with worship. You invoke the presence of God with fellowship with the saints. You come to church. Someone might be saying, I'm not a person who goes to church every Sunday. Let me tell you something. You are inviting sadness in the presence of the Lord. There is the fullness of joy. So this one, as I said, the dimension of the glory, the impossible becomes possible easily and cheaply. Sunday services are a part of those cheap ways to experience the presence of God. Presence. Somebody say presence. The presence of God gives us strength. One day he promises Moses that his presence will go with him. When Moses was scared, he said, he did not say, I am going to give you 17 angels to go with you. I don't know about you, but sometimes the assignment scares me. Sometimes certain things scares me. Many other things can scare you in life. I believe that Moses was looking at the assignment ahead, at the journey ahead, and he was scared. And he had to ask, so how are we going to do this? And God said, my presence will go with you. So he did not promise him any other thing, but he promised him his presence. He said, my presence will go with you. And Moses, because Moses was a person who was acquainted with the voice of God, he knew the voice within the voice. And he said, so then if we say your presence will go with me, it means that we are going to be distinguished. Because he then says, oh, okay, well, no problem. Then if you say your presence will go with us, all right, then no presence. Because I was wondering, if your presence does not go with us, how will we be distinguished? Yeah. So he knew that the only way for us to be distinguished from any other man, it is when we carry the presence. Somebody say presence. He says, presence will go with you. And what gives us access to the presence? It is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus gives us access to the presence of God. That no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, as long as the blood of Jesus Christ is upon your life, then you have the right to approach the throne of God. The Bible says, with boldness, we approach the throne of God and obtain mercy in times of need. How many know that when we approach the throne of mercy, we are approaching the presence of the Most High God? He says, we with boldness. How come are we approaching with boldness? Because of the blood. So what qualifies you to experience or to carry the presence of God in your workplace, in your business, in your home, wherever you are, and it can affect your atmosphere, and it can affect your mind, your heart, your soul. How come you are able to have that access? It is the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore this morning, if there is anyone who has not experienced the salvation by the blood of Jesus, I will encourage you, because there is no way you can be able to have access into the presence of God unless there is blood upon you. That's why Jesus died, so that you don't have to die for yourself. You take the blood of Jesus and appear before God, and you can access the presence of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 13, verse number 1, chapter number 31, verse number 6. The Bible says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. So in other words, it is the Lord your God. It is your Lord, your God who is present with you. It is the presence of your Lord and your God that goes with you. So in other words, how come you are not afraid of the situation you are faced with? How come you are not afraid of the circumstance that you find yourself in? How come you are not afraid of this Goliath that is in front of you? This Goliath that seems to be bigger than you, that seems to be bigger than your resources, that seems to be bigger than what you can be able to do for yourself. How come you are so courageous? It is because of the presence of the Lord that is with you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So his presence gives us strength and courage. So when we find ourselves operating in the dimension of the glory, we are strengthened and we are courageous. We are able to be like David, who said, when they were trying to find out who's going to be able to take down the Goliath, who was busy insulting the armies of God. And he said, I am going to do it. And everyone around him wondered, what have you done? Who are you in front of this giant? But he understands that in the dimension of the glory, the presence goes with you. So I don't know what is it that you have been faced with. Maybe in the past month, in the past week, or maybe in the whole year of 2024, nothing seemed to be working. Let me tell you something. If you can invoke the presence, if you can be a person who loves the presence, if you can be a person who understands the presence, let me tell you something. You'll be able to take down Goliaths that have always been insulting you, because you are strengthened and you are courageous. The Bible says, be strong and of good courage, because the adversities are going to come. Those who are with us in the ministry training during the week, we were charged to be strong, because because adversities are going to come. Let me tell you something. If you're a person who longs to carry the presence, and you are going to the office, it's toxic, and everyone is against you, and yet you are listening to the news on your way, instead of working your thing, instead of invoking the presence. By the time you can, let me tell you something. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because one day Moses, when he went to God, to talk to God, the Bible says the children of Israel could not look at him because of the glory. Where did he get that glory? From the presence. Yeah, he went to the mountain and he was with God. They were busy, you know, like with their own things there. And when he came down, the children of Israel could not look at him. In fact, they said, you must cover your face. So until they say to you, I know, how come I wanted to talk to you, but how come today I'm so scared of... until then, work the presence. Work the presence. Work the presence. And because, let me tell you something, they go for you to be scared of them. They go somewhere. For you to be so scared of them at work, and you even sabotage yourself sometimes and end up resigning, it is because you don't work your thing, which is the presence. And I said, it does not get any better. God, it is in his element. When it is the glory, it's in his element. No one, no nyanga, no witchcraft, nothing can be able to say, I also have power when he begins to work his glory. Amen. It's through his presence. Amen. Through his presence. Try it. You're going to the office and it's toxic and everyone is against you. And say, quote me. And say, my pastor said, oh God, if you give me your presence, these people are going to leave me alone. I need your presence here. And you get there and you're like, shakataya in your car. In the Messiah. In your car, you are driving to the office. Akoso mislab shaka tarabasi. Iramasataya ilabasataya manderebesika. Akobani, who else? Chata no God. Sharamasita irabasita. In your car, you have worship. You have worship. The reason why we give you the names of the songs and the artists, it is so that you can go and search them. Because you already know the song. How many know you worship better with what you know? Because you take those words. It gives you language. It gives you vocabulary. What to say to God. You take that song. It's written over there. That's why we don't do things just for ambience. So that you can take it and say, oh, it's sung by Travis Green. Let me search. That phone of yours instead of the TikTok. Put worship. Try it. Put worship. You are going to work. It's 15 minutes. It's 30 minutes. Even better if you travel far. 45 minutes or 1 hour, you are in traffic. Put that worship there. On repeat. 3 songs on repeat. If you know 3 songs, all of them, all 3 of them, repeat until you are able to worship. Take those words as your own. Worship God. Tell him how beautiful he is. Tell him how glorious he is. Tell him how big he is. And let me tell you something. He'll become bigger and bigger than the problem. He will become bigger and bigger than usosobala babuya again. And here we can't. Bigger and bigger. When you get there, the glory is on you. The presence of God is on you. You are carrying the presence of God. You get there. You go there. You are no longer singing songs of worship. You are no longer speaking in tongues. You are now very innocent. You are just like them until the glory distinguishes you. Until the presence distinguishes you. Until the presence separates the boys from men. Ah, Bazaluan, we have to work it. Work it. Don't just appear before people and say, I know. Me, I know how to speak English. You will. You will be in trouble with. You will be in trouble with that twang. So instead of. you'll be in trouble with your fora. Because almost everyone can say fora. Yeah. Even nami ngafunda aqumbu. Mangumpractisile nje. Makuthiwa nje ngimpractisile. If I really sat down and practiced. Oy, fora. So what's going to distinguish you? What's going to separate you? It's the glory. Work it through the presence. Gives you strength and courage to face certain things. Gives you power. It's the power. The presence is the power. And the power of God comes in three dimensions. It comes through intimacy, which is the relationship and the encounters. Intimacy, which is the relationship. And then through that relationship, you encounter God. It comes through intimacy. It comes through principles. He has invested his power through intimacy and principles. The principles that are designed to be released upon compliance. So, in other words, intimacy is only for those who have relationship. Right? It's only for those who have relationship. Because you cannot be intimate with God unless you have a relationship. That one is for encounters where God, when you are intimate with him and you encounter him through his spirit, you encounter Jesus, you encounter God, and you experience his power based on the relationship that you have with him. But then you can also experience his power through principles. And that is only designed to be released upon compliance. So when you comply with that which God has set before you, when you comply with the principles that God has placed before you, then there is a certain level of power that you are going to experience. So in other words, this kind of power is not only given to those who have relationship, but it's the kind of power that is based on compliance, on principles. For an example, people who give, it's a principle that if you give, you will be blessed. If you give, it will be given back to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It is a principle that has been placed before us. So even if I don't have a relationship with God, in fact, I've seen it so many times, people who don't have relationship with God, people who don't even believe in God, people who say themselves that they don't believe in God, but upon alignment and upon compliance or with this principle of giving, when they are generous, they give and they become blessed. And they become blessed for real. In fact, sometimes basdlulathina esinanene relationship, because we always think relationship cancels principles. So there is power that comes through principles. As much as there is power that comes through intimacy, which is relationship, there's also power that comes through principles. And we, in this dimension of glory, we cannot escape from that power. So we need to be people of the relationship who are intimate with our God, so that we can experience the encounters that only those who have a relationship with him can be able to access. That only those who have a relationship with him can be able to experience. However, there is also power that is released when we are those who adhere or who are compliant when it comes to his principles. In fact, some of us, basdlula, those who do not have a relationship through the principles, and they are blessed by God because it stands. So in other words, as long as you keep this principle, I will also keep my part, regardless of the relationship. So that's the answer in case you have been asking yourself, how come there are people who give so much and they are so blessed, and yet they do not know God? they are observing a principle that has got nothing to do with relationship. It's a principle. Let me take it to another level about principles. It rains to the righteous and to the unrighteous. Why? Because spring, summer, autumn, winter will never cease. Regardless of how many are saved. It is standard. He says he changes not. So those are the principles he has set. That's why the sea, it's a tsunami. And we pray each day if there is a threat when the sea begins to violate the principle. Saved or unsaved? Can I take it to another level? The sun. Does it only set in your home and rises in your home because you are righteous? Because you are a child of God? Because you can speak in tongues? Because you are saved? Because you know Genesis to Revelations? It's a principle that God has set. So is giving. We have our own advantages when it comes to it. But it's a principle that has been set. Our advantages come when it comes to those things such as sacrificial offerings and tithe and giving in the altar and all of those things. But anyone who gives, who is generous out there, the principle stands because it's upon compliance, the power that is released upon compliance. That's why when they come to your workplace and they audit you, and they give you a clean audit upon compliance. So God gives anyone clean audit upon compliance when it comes to certain principles. So that's the power that is released through principles. Are we okay? And another power is released through covenant alignment. Covenant alignment with people. We were taught, I'm not going to dwell there. We were taught last month, you remember? Yeah. About the relationships, yeah. About covenant connections. Yeah. Yes, there's power that God releases through covenant alignment, through making sure that you service your covenant connections. And that is through power. That is through people and places. For an example, places, Jacob. One day in the book of Genesis, chapter number 28, you can read it at home, 28 verse number 10 to verse number 12. One day, Jacob was just minding his business and he wanted to sleep. He was not even praying. He was not doing anything. But the place was a place of covenant and he was aligned with the place of covenant. And the heavens were open. The Bible says there was a ladder and the angels were ascending and descending and upon the Son of Man. So in other words, the presence came upon him because of a place. So if you say you don't mind places, you are going to come short in the glory. If you say, no, I can experience the glory of God at home, I don't need to be in the church, I don't need to go to church every Sunday, you might not experience the glory that we are going to experience in the year 2024. Because there's a certain level of power. There's a dimension of power that only comes through a place. Covenant alignment, being aligned in a place, just like Jacob. Example, chosen people. Remember I said covenant alignment with people and places. The place, Jacob, Genesis 28, verse number 10 to 12. People, it's only the people that are chosen by God that when you are aligned with them through a covenant, then the power of God is released in your life. For an example, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. The story, some of us will know the story, Samuel and Eli. When Samuel was called by God, he was aligned covenantly with Eli. And that is why he even mistaken the voice of God for the voice of Eli. So he had to go and say, did you call me? And he said, no. He went again. Did you call me? And he said, no. Went again. Did you call me? He said, and then because of the covenant that he had with God, what he knew about God, and Samuel was just aligned to what has already been established by between God and Eli. And Eli said, go and sleep and say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Power. Power. Some of us, because we don't want to align ourselves with people chosen by God for us, we are going to miss out on the glory. Because there's power that can only be released through those who are chosen by God. Number three, which is the last one, and then we close. Is that okay? Prosperity. Somebody say prosperity. Prosperity. Come on, shout prosperity. Prosperity. Aye, Bazalwane, there is famine in the land. We need prosperity. Prosperity. Somebody shout prosperity. Prosperity. Aye, Bella, if you are scared of shouting prosperity, prosperity is going to run away from you. Say prosperity. Prosperity. Acquaint yourself with the word prosperity. Say prosperity. Ubaba Mzimela used to do an exercise with us. I'm thinking about it right now. He will always say, if you call money, money is going to answer, because money answers. That's what the Bible says. It says money answers. So I want us also to shout prosperity.
Prosperity.
Come on, one more time, prosperity.
Prosperity.
So the glory of God is also being made manifest in our midst through prosperity. But what is prosperity? According to me, prosperity is when God helps you succeed. That's prosperity. And it's not about money only. When God helps you succeed in parenting, when God helps you succeed in business, when God helps you succeed in your marriage, when God helps you succeed health-wise, when God helps you succeed, it is prosperity that comes from God. When God helps you succeed, that is what prosperity is about. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2, verse number 20, Nehemiah says a statement that has stuck with me ever since I read it. It says, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. So in other words, it's not our connections that are going to prosper us. It's not who we know or who we do not know. It's not what we have done or who we are or where we come from that is going to help us succeed. But what is going to help us succeed is the God of heaven himself. Remember, I said in the dimension of the glory, he gives us himself, and it does not get any better than that. So when God decides to give us his glory, he manifests himself through prosperity. He then becomes the one who helps us succeed. That even when things are not going our way, but when we work the glory of God, we then realize that he is our very present help in times of need. He is our very present help in times of trouble. So in other words, we begin to command results that are not a true reflection of our capacity. We all know how far you went with school, but the results don't match the degrees that you do not have or the skills that you do not have. It is when God begins to cause you to succeed. It is when God begins to help you so that you succeed. That is prosperity, because then the results that you have don't really match up with your capacity. Capacity to think, capacity to be wise, capacity maybe in terms of academics, capacity maybe in strength. And every time you begin to tackle something, the results are far beyond what you can be able to do. Then you can know you are a person helped by God. You are now operating in the dimension of the glory where he manifests himself, where he manifests his glory through prosperity. He causes you to succeed. So in other words, no capacity, just helped by God. No certain things, just helped by God. No, nothing to show, just helped by God. Not even able to tackle the issues that are facing you in your marriage, that are facing you in your health, that are facing you at work in your career, that are facing you in your business. However, God will then capacitate you and cause you to be one who rides in his glory, who rides in his prosperity. So that he's the one who helps you, and you become a person who is helped by God. Somebody shout prosperity. So in other words, when you are helped by God, whatever that you do, no matter how small it is amplified by God. I don't know about you, but I am reminded of the five laborers that are in the Old Testament. The Bible says they did not know what to do at the gate. And they said, if we sit here, we are going to die. But if we go and charge forward, they are also going to kill us. However, we are weak. And there's nothing we can be able to do. And they looked at themselves. They saw themselves sick and weak. So in other words, they did not have capacity to fight off the enemy. But I'm here to announce to you that your steps from today onwards in the dimension of the glory, they are going to be amplified. That when you send an email, maybe when you send your CV, maybe when you send your correspondence, maybe when you go somewhere and your voice is not heard, I want you to know that when you work the glory of God, when he causes you to succeed, when he begins to work his glory in your life and he helps you to succeed, he is going to amplify your steps. He is going to amplify your emails. He is going to amplify your voice. Everyone is going to hear you as the enemies who heard the lepers, because the Bible says when they stood up and said, dying, we are going to die. Whether we stay here, we are going to die. Whether we go into the enemy's camp, they might kill us. However, why sit here and die? I'm here to announce to somebody who was about to give up, to say this thing is bigger than me, to say this thing is going to swallow me, to say this Goliath is bigger than me, to say this problem is bigger than me, this position is bigger than me. There is the dimension of the glory of God where your steps can be amplified. The Bible says they stood up and they gathered some strength. Remember, I said, we're in the glory of God, we are able to be courageous and strengthened. They said they gathered themselves some strength. They stood up weak and sick. And the Bible says they started walking towards the enemy's camp. And the enemy who was stronger than them, the enemy who had more resources than them, the enemy who was bigger than them, began to hear an army. Somebody shout, I am an army. Somebody shout, I'm an army. Somebody shout, I'm an army. I might be by myself walking into that office. I may be by myself, weak and sick, maybe even feeling defeated. However, when God in the glory begins to amplify my voice, begins to amplify my steps, I become an army. The Bible says those who had resources and those who had everything, that they were going to be able to take them out, had an army coming. Not just an army that they can tackle, but an army bigger than them. There were eight. Weak and sick. You might be saying, I'm weak, I can't do this. Stand up, there's the glory. There's the glory available. There's the glory available. Work your thing. The glory is here. Prosperity. When God causes you to succeed, when they're throwing anything at you, God causes you to succeed. The Bible says they started walking towards the enemy's camp. They started walking towards the enemy's camp as they took their step. I can imagine in the enemy's camp, everyone was saying, there's an army coming. And yet it was just weak and sick people. Whereas it is just you who left the office weak and sick on Friday. Whereas it was just you who left that meeting down and out whereas it is just you who didn't know what to do. And as soon as you approach, so if I were you, I would approach what I've been scared of. I will approach that which has been trying to stand before me. If I were you, I would say, in the dimension of the glory, I am an army, because God causes me to prosper. In the dimension of the glory, I don't just go alone. In the dimension of the glory, I'm not just on my step, the one that cannot even be heard at the Oxford Village, but in the dimension of the glory, when I step, oh, heaven step with me. And therefore, as I step towards that which I've been scared of, it's going to hear an army. An army. They did not squander the land. They did not squander the land because they had weapons. They were sick and weak. The Bible says there was not even time for the enemy's camp, for the army in the enemy's camp to be able to take their stuff, to pack up. Everyone ran for their lives. Ah, I see your enemies running for their lives. I see your enemies running for their lives. I see those who have been bad towards you running for their lives. Why? Because of the steps being amplified. When God begins to prosper you, when God begins to prosper you, to cause you to succeed, when he helps you, he amplifies you. Yeah. You see, this church is growing, and the chairs are not even full. Ne?
Yeah.
Soon they will be full.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. We are so amplified.
Yeah.
Everyone in Durban feels like they can have something to say about us.
Yeah.
But we are just a few people with empty chairs.
Yeah.
Why? We're amplified.
Yeah.
Ah, we are tongues will listen to you. Amplified. So you've been wondering why everything is being thrown at you. And in fact, it's even people who are better than you at work. People who are better than you in business. But this person is on your case. No. It's the glory.
Yeah.
So when I say like this, and when I say amplified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I talk to Tabi here and I say, what's wrong, Moshe? You look beautiful. Did you hear me over there, Noma? A little bit. Did you hear me?
No.
What is your name? Did you hear me?
Yes.
Amplified. When God causes you to succeed, when God helps you succeed, amplified.
Yeah.
Amplified. So here is your answer. Work your system. It's the year of the glory. We are not going to get into the 31st of December 2024 having not experienced the presence, the power, and prosperity. Money comes after God causes you to succeed. When I talk about prosperity, don't rush to money. It's part of it. But let me tell you something. It's when God causes you to succeed. That's prosperity. Some of us have never heard this, because when we talk about prosperity, you think money. Money is a part of prosperity. It's a package. When God helps you to succeed in life, in health, in your relationships, in marriage, in business, academically, family-wise, roundabout, that's prosperity. And when God causes you to succeed roundabout, money is attracted to that level. You don't run after it.
Amen.
You get yourself to the glory. Ah, you get yourself to the glory, and then it comes. It comes. Because God causes you to succeed. There's nothing as painful as having money, but bad relationships with your family, with your marriage, with your friends, with church, with Everything you do, where Nanje, everywhere you go, we are pitches and who pitches?
Yeah.
We are pitches. You are not prosperous. Even if you have money, you can be so poor that all you have is money. God wants a glorious church.
Amen.
I'm closing. And guess who's the church? I'm the church. You are the church. Jesus wants to present you to himself glorious. And he wants to manifest that glory through his presence, his power, his prosperity. Shout presence. Shout power. Shout prosperity.
Prosperity.
Say, I am glorious.
I am.
Shout, I am glorious. Shout, I am glorious. Shout again, I am glorious. Come on, stand on your feet and clap your hands and bless the Lord. Hey, Mr. Man. Come on, somebody shout. Shout unto the Lord. Thank him for his presence. Thank him for his power. Thank him for his prosperity. Come on, come on. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Don't wait until you experience it. Shout in advance. I will experience his presence. I will experience his power. I will experience his prosperity. Shout, I am glorious.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.